Good morning, Cedarville. Oh, no, 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 no. In Kansas City, we have Arrowhead Baptist Fellowship, where the Kansas City Chiefs play. They make more noise than that. Good morning, Cedarville. Amen. Dr. White, thank you so much for having us here. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you to my lovely wife, Stephanie. Been married to her for 31 years next month. She deserves battle pay. We just thank the Lord so much for this opportunity to be here. One of my passions is for ethnic diversity. It would seem that I would do a message on that, but I'm not going to, because I want to cover a much broader issue that deals with what's going on in our culture and our world today, especially America. And I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you this morning, exhort you this morning, because right now you live in a very safe environment. It's easy to be a Christian when you're among those who are claiming to be Christians. But one day, May will roll around and you will have to graduate and you will have to leave this Disneyland world and go out into the real world. And when I was in seminary, everything worked in the laboratory of the seminary classes until you got a church. And you found out that everything in the laboratory doesn't work the way it worked in the laboratory in the real world. And you're going to have to face the real world, and it's a world that is falling apart. And if it was not for the sovereignty of God and understanding the providence of God and understanding that God is in control, I would probably jump off a building. But we do serve a sovereign God, a God who has resurrected us all from the dead who have placed faith in him. So this morning, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to talk about the scriptures are sufficient for everything. The scriptures are sufficient for everything. Dr. White, I was online watching some of the messages of previous people who have spoken. I saw the Q&A that you and your wife did. And I just want to mention real quick that you're a nugget guy and she's a strip guy. And I'd just like to add my two cents. I'm a spicy chicken guy. I like the spicy chicken, so we can throw spicy chicken into the mix there, and I don't have to dip it in anything because it already comes prepared. So let's stand for the reading of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read quite a bit here, but I'm only going to focus on verses 16 and 17 for our time together this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God." Please highlight that. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. "Having a form," verse 5, "of godliness, but not denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households, making captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." Notice verse 10, notice the contrast. "But you," Paul speaking to Timothy and all of us here, "but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, affliction, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable or sufficient or adequate for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You may be seated. Father, we just thank you so much, and we ask you to bless this time. Guide our thoughts. Give us clarity of speech. Illuminate the minds and hearts of the hearers. Glorify yourself. These things we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. As I was saying, our world is in dire straits. Sometimes it seems hopeless when you listen to the news. But I think this simple nursery rhyme will kind of help you to understand where we're going to be going. You know it well. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. The problem is not with Humpty Dumpty. The problem in that nursery rhyme for me is that all the king's horses and all the king's men didn't have a clue about how to fix Humpty Dumpty people. And if you listen to television enough, if you listen to the news pundits, no one seems to have an answer for the problems and the ills of our society. But I do not find that surprising, and I do not find that as much as a concern, because I know the world really has no answers. My concern today is for the church, for Christians who appear to be as Humpty Dumpty people in the world, who are broken, battered, and bruised, because that's what sin does apart from Jesus Christ. We are marred by sin. We are born in sin. We are born separated from God. We are born broken in our relationship with God, and we must be born again to reestablish that relationship so that we may have fellowship with the God who is sovereign, the God who is providential, the God who is creator, the God who sustains all. We have not been able to solve many of the racial issues and political issues because we turn to all the king's horses and all the king's men, and we reject the truth of God. Even in the church today, in the church in America specifically, as I talk with people who come from other countries, they are disillusioned by what they find when they get here to America. Because the missionaries and the commitments that they were taught to have in their countries, when they come to America, they find something lacking. And I believe this text helps us to understand what may be the problem for us. The text says, in the last days, there will be difficult times. The last days, according to the Bible, is the time between Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming, which we are now in. Therefore, this text applies to our modern day context. Now, many will say that this is talking about how the world's going to be. I disagree with that. Because Paul was writing to his young pastor friend, Timothy. And Paul is on the verge of coming to the end of his life. He is about to hand off the spiritual baton of ministry to Timothy. And Timothy's kind of timid, so Paul's trying to encourage him. And if you know anything about people who are dying, if you really want to know what they value, if you really want to know what's important to them, listen to their last words. And here Paul is giving his last words and instructions, and he's warning Timothy that the world is already like this, but what's going to happen is the church is going to become more of a lover of itself than they are lovers of God. There's a reason why they call all those pictures you guys take selfies. Because they're about self. Now, if you were to look at my phone, if you find any pictures of me on my phone that I have taken, you have somebody else's phone. I don't think I've ever taken a picture of myself or anything I've eaten on my phone. But whether you agree or not, whether you believe it or not, based on the word of God, we live in the self-love generation. And the church is guilty. Difficult times, savage times, and they will become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Now, if you know your Bible, I could take you to Revelation chapter 2 and show you that this church never recovered. Because when Jesus comes on the scene and he evaluates the church of Ephesus, which is a church in Timothy, his accusation against them is that you have left your first love. So it appears that between this time that Paul is talking and the time that Jesus comes in Revelation, this church never recovers. And I want to exhort you, I want to warn you, be careful about being lovers of yourselves more than you're lovers of God. It's an easy trap to fall into if you're not careful. When my daughter went to college, and I encouraged her that we wanted her to make good grades and we wanted her to study, and she did. But I told her, when you leave, make sure you keep this book on top of all your other books. Because it's very easy to get focused on school and leave God out. And I don't want to assume, just because we're in a Christian university, that that may not happen to you. In this text, I want to share with you three simple points. There are three eternal facts related to the sufficiency of Scripture. I believe Scripture is sufficient for everything, either directly or implied. Either directly or implied. The Scriptures are sufficient for everything, and I want to show you and validate why. Because what we need to understand, the government and the ACLU and philosophers and social workers and talk show hosts have no answers for the Humpty Dumpty problems. But God has an answer for everything, either directly or implied. There's no situation you can come up with that we can't go to Scripture and study Scripture and find and get God's mindset of how we should walk and how we should follow his pattern. But I am concerned that there is an ignorance of Scripture that characterizes the modern day church. Because I do not believe that the church as a whole any longer believes in the sufficiency of Scripture. And a church can only get that way because the people are that way. And so you can only get a church that has lost its first love if the people have lost their first love. So let's look at this text and just share three eternal facts related to the sufficiency of Scripture. Here they are. Let me give them to you up front. The Scriptures are sufficient because of their origin. The Scriptures are sufficient because of their origin. Secondly, the Scriptures are sufficient because of their obligation. And thirdly, the Scriptures are sufficient because of their operation. And we find this in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The first point is the Scriptures are sufficient because of their origin. Look with me at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I like that. Because it eliminates human opinion. It eliminates human ingenuity. And in America, we think we know everything. In America, we believe that the American way is the right way over every other way. And while that may be true in your mind, there is someone who is far superior than the American way. And his name is not Superman. God's way is superior. God's thoughts are far above our thoughts. His ways are far above our ways. But sometimes we fall into the trap of allowing education to supersede God's word. And I want to warn you against that. I want you to be careful, because there are a lot of people writing things that are contrary to the sufficiency of Scripture that is based on the speculation of man. Inspiration is a technical term for the Holy Spirit's supernatural guidance of those who received special revelation from God as they wrote the books of the Bible. All scripture is inspired, is breathed out by God. When we read the scriptures in their original manuscripts, we have the very breath of God. And what I love about that is that the scriptures, if they are the very breath of God, if God is the origin of the scriptures, and God is perfect, if God is infallible and errant, then the scriptures must be infallible and inerrant. In other words, the scriptures contain the very character of God. And how is it possible to love God and not love his word? How is it possible to want to have fellowship and communion and a relationship with God, but you don't want to study his word? It's impossible. But the statistics are telling us that many of our people in our culture are biblically illiterate. And I don't want to come here to Cedarfield and assume just because you're in a Christian school, as fine as that may be, as great as that may be, I wish I had gone to one, that you really value the word of God the way that you should. Whether you know it or not, many churches are full of what one of the sisters in our church called, he's speeching, he's not preaching. There's a difference between a speech and heralding the very word, the very breath of God. In our churches, if you just watch television, or what is it, I call it so-called Christian television, there's not much word of God, and if there is word of God, it's normally not in the context and saying what God meant for the text to say. And there is no power in the word of God if you don't say what God meant for the text to say. So Paul tells his young protege here, and he's telling us, you're going to be dealing with difficult times. You're going to be dealing in a time when people love themselves more than they love God. And your only solution for you who follows after me is the scriptures. The scriptures are sufficient because of their origin, and the origin of the scriptures is God. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 tells us, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You can trust your Bible. You can trust the word of God. You can trust the sufficiency of God's word because God was in control of the whole process. And if you have men who are powerful enough to change God's word, then you have a weak God. But if you have the God of the Bible, Yahweh, Jehovah, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who sustains everything, who is supreme over everything, who providentially and sovereignly controls everything, you can trust the word of God because of the origin of the scriptures. Listen to Psalms 19, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect. Did you hear that? The law of the Lord is perfect. Why is the law of the Lord perfect? Because the origin of the law of the Lord is God. And if God is perfect, then his word is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, you guys might be like people at my church, you don't like certain words. Simple means simple. Immature, ignorant, stupid, moronic, childish. I know we don't like that, but we have a lot of simple people in the world who think their knowledge is superior to God's knowledge. It goes on to say in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord is true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. More to be desired are they than graduating. Forgive me, Dr. White. I want you all to graduate. But I don't want you to graduate at the expense of leaving God's word out. God's word will be more important than any degree you get. Get all the degrees you can get. I got a lot of them. Still trying to figure out what they all mean. But to leave God out for the pursuit of something that is temporary for the eternal is simple-minded. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Don't you want to hear "well done, good and faithful servant" on that day? Don't you? You don't? I do. Dr. White, you want to, don't you? The only way you're going to do that is by keeping the word of God. But you have to believe that the scriptures are sufficient, because a lot of people are going to throw curveballs and doubts at you about the word of God. They're going to say man wrote that word. They're going to say it's the white man's word. It's the black man's word. No, it's the word of God. And men who were moved along by the Spirit, because God was superintending the writing of the scriptures so that we got exactly the very breath, the very thoughts, the very heart, the very mindset of God. See, that's why we have all this confusion about gender issues, because the scriptures aren't sufficient. If the Bible says male and female, that's it. It doesn't matter how you feel, or it doesn't matter what chromosomes you think you have, you don't. It doesn't matter what your mama and daddy says. It doesn't matter what the TV host said. If God says he made them male and female and God is perfect, everybody else is wrong. But you have to believe in the sufficiency of scripture. You have to believe God knows more about life as he created than men who are Johnny come latelys. The teaching of scripture are not suggestions for life, stories for entertainment, or material for bumper stickers and t-shirts. They are absolute principles for life, because God's truth is for life. This leads us to our second eternal fact related to sufficient scripture. The scriptures are sufficient because of their obligation. Look again with me at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Profitable, sufficient, adequate, complete. Contains everything we need. It's profitable, it's sufficient for doctrine. It's sufficient for teaching you what is right. It's sufficient for reproof, for teaching you when you're wrong. It is profitable for correction. It's sufficient to teach you how to correct yourself when you're wrong. And it's sufficient for instruction in righteousness, teaching you how to stay right so you don't have to get right so much. When we live and live according to the word of God, it is sufficient for teaching us everything we need for life. But you have to believe that God's word is sufficient. You just can't say it. You just can't pronounce it. You have to live it. The only way you really know that you and I believe that the word of God is sufficient is we live like it's sufficient. That when I come to the decisions and the issues of life, even down to selecting classes and a career and a curriculum, did you check in with God first? See, many people want to know the specifics about life when they're not even doing the general things that God said. Did you hear what I said? If you do the general things that God says in his word, the specific things he will lead you and guide you in. I want to know who I'm supposed to marry. Do you even know what marriage is first? Do you understand what your role as a husband is to be? Do you understand what your role as a wife is to be before you try to figure out who you want to be with? When we do the general, the specifics will work themselves out, because God will lead us as we are living out the general principles of Scripture in our daily lives. And don't wait till you get old to do it. Remember the Lord thy God in thy youth. Start now. Start here. Start today. So the scriptures are sufficient for doctrine, teaching us God's word. It is sufficient for reproof, showing us when we're wrong. It is sufficient for correcting us when we're off base and we're off out of line. And it's sufficient for instructing us in what is the righteousness of God found in Christ. Under reproof, the scripture is sufficient against all heresy, improper belief, exposure of false teaching. The result of reproof is always confession and repentance. We need more confession and repentance today. We need more sackcloth and ashes. I was at a conference, a leadership conference a couple of weeks ago, and I was teaching on multi-ethnic principles for church development. And one of the guys came up to me and said, when you preach and when you travel, you just need to carry sackcloth and ashes around with you for everybody. Because I think we've gotten too comfortable living short of God's standards. Yes, we have flaws. Yes, we're imperfect. Yes, we miss the mark. And while that is true, we should never become comfortable with that. We should never just be going along casually. Because the word of God should convict us. And when the word of God convicts us, it should also consecrate us. And when it consecrates us and we turn and we go the way God wants us to go, then we're ready for celebration. But we're celebrating and we haven't even repented in many cases. The scriptures of fish correction. The scripture corrects and cleanses our wrong thoughts. The scriptures correct and cleanse our wrong speech. The scriptures correct and cleanse our wrong actions. Therefore, they are sufficient for instructing us in righteousness. Our final eternal fact of the sufficiency of scripture is this. The scriptures are sufficient because of their operation. Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know what God is calling you to do. I don't know where your career will be. But if it's sufficient to equip the man of God, to teach the people of God, then it is sufficient for the people of God who are being taught by the man of God. We don't need manuals from business world. We don't need manuals from other organizations. The scriptures are sufficient to teach a pastor, to train a pastor, to train Sunday school teachers, to train worship leaders in everything that they need to do and be. If they're sufficient for Timothy and for Paul, they're sufficient for us. Brothers and sisters, the world is confused over so many things. But I expect that because Jesus, through the inspiration of Scripture, God, through the inspiration of Scripture, through Paul, tells us that in the last days, the time between his first coming and his second coming, it's going to be savage times out there. And the problem will be that those people will come to church. And they will not come to church to hear the word of God. They'll come to church to compare what they heard out there with what you're saying in here. And then they will make a decision about which they will want to submit to. And if they're not being controlled by the word of God, if they're not being controlled by the Spirit of God, if they're not being controlled by that which God has said, thus said the Lord, we all know our flesh will take over. And if the church is God's only solution to the world, because we are to be the light and salt in the world, and we have fallen from love of God to love of self, there is no plan B. There's only plan A. So I would like to challenge us this morning. I'd like to encourage us this morning. Study the word of God. Trust the word of God. Build your life on the word of God. And if any book is going to be on the top of the books that you have to study, keep the Word of God on top and hide it in your hearts, because it is sufficient because of the origin. It is sufficient because of its obligation. It is sufficient because of its operation. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for Dr. White and his leadership. We thank you for his staff. We pray for Cedarville that you will use it mightily, because you are using the staff, you're using the president, you're using the students as you sow them throughout the world to make an impact for the kingdom of God. But we cannot do that without your word. We cannot do that without trusting in the sufficiency of your word for everything. There are so many questions. There are so many problems. So many things are being taught that is contrary to who you are. May we be the people of God who trust in the word of God and bring the solutions of God to a lost and dying generation. And as you do this, we promise to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.